This is DW News live from Berlin. Tributes for the late US Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But her death has already ignited a partisan battle over who will nominate her successor. We'll have more on the latest issue to divide the US. Also on the program, Belarusian police crack down on democracy protesters. Further anti-government demonstrations in Belarus are followed by more arrests targeting women. I'm Anthony Howard, welcome. Mourners have been laying flowers outside the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. in tribute to the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She died on Friday at the age of 87 from pancreatic cancer. Ginsburg had spent 27 years as a member of the court and had built up a formidable reputation as its most liberal judge. Her death has led not only to an outpouring of tributes, but it has also kicked off a political battle about who will replace her. US President Donald Trump says he wants to fill her post with a conservative judge as soon as possible.
Days before her death, Ruth Bader Ginsburg told her family she wished her Supreme Court replacement would be selected by the next president. Ginsburg was the leading liberal voice on a court bench that already has a conservative majority. They decide on major issues such as abortion and voting rights. The court can even pick the president, as happened in 2000 in the case of Bush versus Gore. Current Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden said Ginsburg's successor should be chosen after November's election.
But there is no doubt, let me be clear, that the voters should pick the president and the president should pick the justice for the Senate to consider.
But President Donald Trump says he will fill the vacant court seat without delay. Just weeks ago, he announced a list of potential replacements to become his third Supreme Court pick. Justice Ginsburg herself was critical of the politics behind the nomination process.
I don't know what it will take, but we really should get back to the way it was when people were examining the qualifications of someone to be a judge, rather than trying to guess how they would vote.
Flags were at half-mast across the country, and in front of the Supreme Court, flowers piled up as public tributes were made from across the political divide. The search for Ginsburg's successor threatens to be less dignified.
Well, DW correspondent Carolina Chimwe joins me from Washington. Carolina, how quickly are Republicans pivoting toward the task now of finding a replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Well, the White House already announced that they want to name the next Supreme Court justice before the first presidential debate, and that is less than 2 weeks away. President Donald Trump said that a nominee might be a woman, but the procedure is not that simple. The nomination of the justice will depend on how long the debate will take in the Senate. The procedure is the president, in this case Donald Trump, names a candidate in the Senate. The Justice Committee interviews the nominee for some days, and then the leader of the Senate, in this case a Republican, Mitch McConnell, decides when the whole Senate will vote on the nominee.
You speak of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He refused to accept President Obama's nomination for a Supreme Court judge 10 months before an election. How will he justify accepting Trump's nomination 6 weeks before an election?
That is the big question, and some journalists already asked that question directly to Mitch McConnell. He said that he doesn't care about what he said back in 2016, and he says this is a very different situation and a different context, and that the president will follow the rulings of the Constitution of the United States of America. And the Constitution says the president should name a justice and the Senate has to vote on it.
Carolina, if Republicans succeed in installing another Supreme Court justice, as it seems they will, what will that mean for politics in the US?
Well, the Supreme Court is the highest court in this country. It decides about very important issues, for example, gender equality, deportation, LGBTI rights. Its rulings cannot be appealed. It also decides on cases dealing with the interpretation of the Constitution. So if there is, for example, a presidential election and the results are not really clear, or if they can be interpreted in different ways, then the Supreme Court will have the last word. That says a lot.
Carolina Chimoy in Washington, thank you so much. Well, Belarusian police detained around 250 people on Saturday during a women's march in the capital, Minsk. The weekly demonstrations have become some of the largest anti-government protests since a disputed presidential election triggered unrest in Belarus. But police have begun now also to round up female protesters in recent weeks.
Only cowards beat women, shout hundreds of women as they face down the police. But the authorities no longer want to let this weekly march go ahead unchallenged. Police barely seem to hesitate as they pack women into their trucks. Even 73-year-old Nina Bahinskaya was briefly detained. Her defiance of the authorities has made her an icon of these protests, overwhelmingly led by women. It was scary at the beginning, but then you get used to it. What can you do? I'm more scared about living with the feeling that I did nothing when all this was happening in my country. The crackdown is getting harsher by the day. And there is still little sign the riot police are deserting President Alexander Lukashenko, who demonstrators say rigged the August 9 presidential election. What is democracy? It's when the majority has voted for the president. No, nobody voted for him. Women taking part in opposition rallies now not only have to fear for their safety, but also that of their children. Authorities have been threatening to remove children from protester parents, a warning that's only been fueling the anger on the streets.
Well, DW correspondent Nick Connolly was at the protest in Minsk and he sent us this report.
It began with glitter, balloons and relaxed smiles. But just an hour in and this week's women's march came to a screeching halt as riot police in balaclavas jumped out of unmarked vans on the protesters' path. Within minutes, the police had encircled the marchers, breaking them down into smaller groups. But only a handful tried to get away, even though they had the chance to do so. Most, it seemed, resigned to the prospect of being arrested, even if that could mean spending 10 days in jail. One thing you hear from protesters here time and time again is this. They can't throw us all in jail. They just don't have enough space. There are just too many of us. And as if to prove exactly that point, just as the arrests were reaching their climax, a giant opposition flag appeared in the sky, pulled by a drone. All the police could do was scratch their heads. If the last few weeks are anything to go by, it seems that every time the government ups the pressure on the protesters, it brings yet more people out onto the streets against itself. People who tell you that whatever happens now, they're tired of being scared.
And from Nick Connolly in Minsk, let's take a look now at some of the other stories making news around the world. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has posted another picture of himself recovering in hospital. The caption of the photo he shared on the social network Instagram said his path to recovery was clear, although long. Navalny is being treated in a Berlin hospital after being poisoned with a nerve agent. US President Donald Trump supports a new deal to allow TikTok to continue to operate in the United States. He says the proposed deal will be under the control of US-based companies Oracle and Walmart. The US has been targeting the Chinese-owned mobile app, citing security concerns. Pro-democracy protesters are rallying in Thailand to demand the Prime Minister's resignation. Tens of thousands of people are gathered near the Royal Palace during what's planned to be a weekend-long protest. Demonstrators are calling for an end to military rule and a return to democracy. The Greek government says more than 200 people have tested positive for coronavirus at a new refugee shelter on the island of Lesbos. Europe's largest refugee camp burnt down earlier this month, leaving some 12,000 people homeless. The Migration Ministry says three quarters of them have moved to a new camp, which is already full. Well, Europe is seeing a surge in new coronavirus infections, with many countries recording their highest rates since early in the pandemic. Germany's daily number of new infections exceeded 2,200, a figure not seen since early April. Meanwhile, France's rates are soaring well past 10,000 per day. In some parts of England, new stricter measures have been introduced as infections rise to levels not seen since April. With a possible second lockdown looming there, protesters gathered in London to voice their opposition to vaccines, social distancing measures, and the requirements to wear masks in public. Many carried placards denying the existence of the pandemic. So, what is the British government doing to deal with the surge in coronavirus case numbers? Our correspondent in London, Birgit Maas, sent us this update.
The British government has tried to impose local lockdowns where they have seen flare-ups, particular flare-ups of the virus. However, now it seems to be spreading, so not just in the north of England. The numbers are evening out across the whole country. We've seen problems in Scotland and also in other parts of England. In Britain, the people are looking at the government, and a lot of people are very, very critical. In polls, it's shown that a lot of British people, a majority, are not happy how the government has handled the crisis, and experts are pointing out that not enough has been done in order to prevent this new surge, and that, for example, the testing capacity is not there, that should be here, that it would be clear that once children go back to school and people go back to the office, that people would want to have more tests. Also, the tracking system has been a problem here. So lots of criticism for the British government.
And from our correspondent Birgit Maas in London to German football now. And if Bayern are Bundesliga's perennial champions, then Borussia Dortmund are usually close behind. The runners-up in three of the last four seasons hosted Borussia Mönchengladbach in the late game on Saturday. Gladbach also had a strong season last time out, finishing up in the Champions League spots.
There were more than a few bricks missing in the famous yellow wall as Dortmund kicked off their season. But even without that reliably solid foundation, the home side went in front on 35 minutes. Giovanni Reina slotting home to make it 1-0 at the break. A first ever Bundesliga goal for the young English-born American. Nine minutes into the second half, a polite but pointed exchange of views between Erling Haaland and Jadon Sancho over who should take a penalty kick. In the end, the English-born Norwegian slotted home from the spot. A breakaway from a corner saw Sancho lay on Haaland to seal the 3 points, and the pair was suddenly best of friends. A frightening burst and pass from the English-born Englishman, and a lovely dink from Haaland. A fine start to the season for Dortmund, but it hasn't escaped the pessimists that they already lag 5 goals behind Bayern after just one game.
Werder Bremen were hoping to get their season off to a flying start against Hertha Berlin after a poor campaign last time out that almost saw them relegated. But Dodi Lukebakio put Hertha 2-0 up by half-time. With that cracker, Davy Zelka scored a consolation for Bremen, but a debut goal from John Cordoba sealed a 4-1 win for the Berliners. Bremen could only disappoint the very few long-suffering fans who were allowed back into the stadium. And before we go, it's not only humans that enjoy art. In London, an exhibition aimed at dogs has opened, showcasing designs for man's best friend. Dogs are not just the subject of the show, of course. They can also take a look. The travelling exhibition is the brainchild of Japanese designer Hara Kenya, who launched it in 2012 before now unleashing it on London Architecture for Dogs. Runs through January 10th and don't forget to bring some treats. You're watching DW News live from Berlin. Up next at Sports Life. Don't forget you can get all the latest news and information around the clock on our website. I'll have more